How can boards address health equity and diversification? Three accomplished women trustee leaders, Dr. Kavita Patel, Dr. Carolina Reyes, and Phoebe Yang, draw from their varied backgrounds and share specific ideas on diversifying boards. The willingness to bring new potential board members along at a slower pace can also assist in filling board seats while growing new competencies.
Hello and welcome to our podcast today. I have three great guests that I want to introduce to all of you. We have Dr. Kavita Patel with us. She's a board member of SSM Health. We have Dr. Carolina Reyes with us. She is a board member, trustee of Common Spirit Health. And we also have Phoebe Yang, a board member of GE Healthcare and Common Spirit Health. Welcome. And I'd ask you, starting with Dr. Kavita Patel, if you can tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah, sure. Sue Ellen, thank you. And I am very proud to be on boards. The board, SSM Health, as you mentioned, kind of a large Midwest health system. I was on the board of Dignity Health, which was the Western health system that merged and became part of Common Spirit. So as you, what's interesting is to kind of experience healthcare. I'm a physician, practice in the Washington, D.C. area at a community health center with a pretty vulnerable, mostly underinsured or uninsured population, which is something that the board that I sit on at SSM also shares, at being of service to a large number of Medicaid and uninsured populations. And then in past life, I've had a kind of policy and political roles in the Obama administration and in the United States Senate working for Senator Ted Kennedy.
Great, thank you. And Dr. Carolina Reyes, please tell us more about you.
So I'm an associate clinical professor at the University of California, Davis, practicing clinician and with high-risk pregnancies. I am on the Common Spirit Health Board of Trustees, previously on the Providence St. Joseph Health Board.
And Phoebe Yang, please tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Thanks, Sue Ellen. It's great to be here, and thanks for having us. I am, as you mentioned, a board member of Common Spirit Health, as well as GE Healthcare and another publicly traded company called Doximity. And I also have had the privilege of serving previously on a couple of other large health system boards, St. Joseph Health and then Providence St. Joseph Health. But I find that in the same way that Dr. Patel and Dr. Reyes have brought their expertise as physicians into their board work, I've benefited from also serving in executive roles throughout my career, first in the media industry and then in the healthcare industry. And it really informs the governance work that we do today.
Well, thank you all for being with us today. We're going to first focus on boards and diversity. As all of you know, boards are instrumental in advancing health equity, but also challenged in doing so. So how can health equity be addressed in the boardroom? And can each of you tell us how your board is addressing health equity and board diversity for your hospital or health system? And I think Dr. Kavita will start with you.
Yeah, I mean, so, well, thanks for this. And I think this is probably something that can extrapolate beyond hospitals, to be candid. And so now I've been 10 years on the SSM board and have seen kind of the different waves when we've had board members for nomination, served on the nomination and governance committee for a period of time. And what I love about SSM, as I have all the organizations I've worked in, has been that health equity has really been kind of brought down from like the treetops, like, you know, to the grassroots. And what I've tried to do is be a voice of encouraging that at the board level. I will say that part of that, I think a very obvious one, is thinking about nominations for board members in a very diverse sense. And I don't mean just racial and ethnic diversity and gender diversity. I think we like to think about geographic diversity, experience diversity, a lot of different kind of variables of diversity. However, one of the things that I've noticed is that in doing so, there seems to always be the beginning of a conversation around board member recruitment. And it feels like, you know, when we go around the room and try to think about contacts of the current board members who might be appropriate candidates, we all know people. But then I think I consciously realized my blind spots and my biases, where I said, I'm going to know the people I want to know, and I'm probably not going to understand blind spots that would offer a great conversation as a board member on the topic of not just health equity, but all of the things that we try to do at a healthcare system. So just to kind of, I don't want to steal what I think Dr. Reyes and Phoebe are probably going to touch on as well. I think one of the ways we've done like a good job is we've tried to systematize the concepts around diversity. It's hard to put metrics to it, but we've tried to, where we've actually tried to define, you know, what are we striving to achieve in terms of gender balance? What are we striving to achieve in terms of racial and ethnic and LGBTQ kind of balance in our board composition? And then maybe like many other organizations, Sue Ellen, we retain search firms to help us with that, but we make that explicit criteria in the search function itself. And something that's been new as of the last, I would say 3 to 4 years, is that we're trying to only use search firms who really bring forward proposals that really reflect that.
Dr. Reyes, how about you?
I agree wholeheartedly. I think it's important to not underestimate the power that diversity, equity, inclusion in our board of directors has on the decision-making of the board. And I think it just has to be made a priority. It has to be intentional. And it's important that boards take strides in understanding sort of the current state of their board composition, and does it reflect the population that they're serving? And there are many ways to continue to do this. It takes time. In many ways, finding individuals that have the board experience and the skills, in addition to those that certainly that we know, it is important to make sure that we reach out in a constructive way to identify those that have the experience beyond those that board of directors may know. It's important also to be really strategic in committee leadership so that you're building that leadership. It's important to have a chair of the board that's a good listener and incorporates many of the ideas that come from other board members so that everyone is listened to. And it's just important to be open to ideas that may not be our own individual ideas, but that have an openness to that level of discussion. But I say it's just critical that we have to be intentional. It's incorporated into a strategic plan as a board then pursues finding a board that is composed of a very diverse board that includes those that are representative of those that they serve.
And Phoebe Young, can you share some of your thoughts with us?
Happy to, Sue Ellen. I wholeheartedly agree with what Dr. Reyes and Dr. Patel have said. What I would say, and this does also similarly apply to both health system leadership and boards, but more broadly, is making very explicit the goal of health equity in the mission of an organization is really foundational. Otherwise, it's just window dressing, and it comes and goes with a particular, you know, fad or winds of the times. But once you've made that explicit, being very concrete about the elements of what you will be looking for in terms of outcomes, and then designing a system of measurement such that the management team understands concretely what the board would be looking for, and tracking progress in every single meeting around those measurements. And that can apply to both the delivery of care, the financing of care, the vendors that you use, everyone in the ecosystem that you touch, because the benefit that a health system has is it's typically the buyer, and it typically has the coveted relationship with the patient, the consumer, or the member, such that that relationship is what everyone else in the ecosystem is either trying to finance or to sell into. And so the leverage that one has in a health system board is tremendous, because there's a rippling effect that occurs in the business that you do every day. And I think oftentimes when we try to recruit new board members, or you know, focus on a CEO search or support the management team in its own building out of the leadership, we often tend to use false proxies, or I've heard people say phenotypes, for what we're really looking for. That's lazy, frankly, and boards are not doing their job if that's what we end up doing. What we need to be doing is is what I call sort of opening the aperture. We need to really expand our pipeline and drill into what are the intrinsic qualities and experiences and perspectives of good governance, and what makes a good board member, and why do we need those on our board now, and not sort of, you know, relegate ourselves to being lazy or imprecise with proxies like a title for that. I mean, you know, historically people want to see a CEO or only CEOs on their board. And the question is, what are the experiences and the diverse perspectives that you need in those board seats to really bring forward the both the fresh ideas, but also the accountability around equity issues, because these are very complex and they're multi-layered, and only having people who've only seen it from the 30,000 foot level is not going to really get you where you need to go. So I think the mission, the measurement, but also really being very precise about the insights that you want to bring to the board, and then giving those insights real voice and leadership and inclusion in those board discussions.
Thank you. Just to bring it down a little bit to more detail, a lot of boards that I talk to struggle with how to start. How do we recruit? And I know it's part of a strategy, but they're struggling. I also hear board members saying, but our community isn't diverse. So can each of you just talk a little bit about how your hospital and health system started, kind of where the discussion started, you know, what kind of a strategy you had? I think it would be helpful to share with our listeners. Dr. Reyes, I think we'll start with you this time.
I think the important thing is that we actively engage with diverse candidates and actively mentor those that have the potential to be board candidates. I don't agree that there's a paucity of board members, of underrepresented minorities, of certainly women or other forms of diversity. I think they're out there. I think we're just limited in our scope as we're looking for individuals. As Phoebe Yang mentions, it's opening that aperture and being willing to seek out that level of diversity in candidates. I think the important way to do it is to, if the individual board members do not have a wide aperture and willing to look, is hiring, as Dr. Patel mentions, a firm that with the strategic intention, with the intention of finding that level of diversity among board members with a level of experience. So being active in identifying individuals that have the potential, but also in, as a board, being active in empowering those that are on the board as you're gaining that level of experience, so that we empower, let's say, members of our subcommittee to have some voice and level of experience so that they're building that experience as well.
And Phoebe Young, anything you can add to help folks get started in their search and their journey to build a diverse board?
Yeah, I think what Dr. Reyes has shared is spot on. I've had the good fortune, and I think this is true in a lot of faith-based healthcare, that a lot of these organizations start from the premise. In fact, their founding was premised on the notion that the underserved are their primary purpose for being. And so they want to serve these communities. Those organizations have the benefit of going back to their first principles of why they exist and how do they, you know, but long before there was the words, you know, were the words population health or value-based care, these organizations and the sisters who founded them were doing this work and thinking about whole person care and things like that. So going back to first principles is a great, if you're coming from that kind of a legacy. If you're not coming from that kind of legacy, I think a lot of what I have found to be very useful is almost every person I have ever met in healthcare with whom I've had the conversation, why are you in healthcare, has some sort of a personal story around why they entered healthcare, why they're serving in whatever capacity they are, whether they're delivering care or they're, you know, doing back office accounting or sitting on boards. And I think a lot of that is around the mission and the purpose of why you're doing it. And almost every health system touches the underserved in some way. And so going back again to those first principles of why we exist and you know, the dignity of the communities and the individuals and the families that we want to serve helps to kind of inspire a perspective, because I think the ideas move us into action. And so if you start from the idea of why do we exist and why are we doing this, then you can begin to move into very practical steps that we've talked about in terms of expanding your pipeline, thinking about the core, the intrinsic qualities that you're really looking for in a board member or in a leadership team. And what are those qualities? Because those qualities and those experiences are going to be more important than the titles that they have held before. And you want people who are willing to roll up their sleeves, because everything in healthcare going forward is going to have to be reimagined. And so you want people who have the energy and the drive to do that. But then those typically are people who have some personal experiences in those communities that often we're also trying to serve. And so if you're coming to the fore with candidates, but to Carolina's point, you know, also encouraging those board members who have served in those communities in such a way to give not only a voice for the sake of having a voice, but also pull out the concrete elements of what that voice really means in the work that we do, then you're connecting those dots in a way that you begin to see results. And results build on other results, right? And so then you begin to expand that perspective. But I think it all starts from the notion of why are we doing this, and inspiring the rest of the board as well as leadership teams all the way down to the front line. Why this is really important, and then moving into those really measurable, concrete steps once you bring in those diverse perspectives.
Well said. Dr. Patel, anything you want to add to help folks kind of get started in that whole recruitment of diverse board members?
Yeah, I'll be incredibly like brass tacks about it, because I was always surprised in the organizations I myself have been working clinically in, where I've ascended and run large groups of physicians. I can tell you to the date, I've never had anybody in leadership ever ask me about potential board members. Not myself, obviously, but, you know, being an employee there. But I rarely, if ever, I don't want to put Dr. Reyes on the spot, but probably similarly, like when we wear our clinical hats and put on our white coats, people just kind of think of us as clinicians, which is totally fine for myself. But I'm one of the few people that can often, with the team around me, we have incredible touch points with community-based organizations, especially if we're working like I am in primary care. We have incredible touch points with members of the community, as well as patients and family members and stories. And so often when we're looking for boards, we often are trying to fill a skill set. We want someone with tech experience. We want someone with finance experience. We want people with skills for these boards, usually for committees, usually for, you know, just being incredibly diverse in our representation on many levels. And that's when I think the conversation falls. So I've advised, small hospitals that have no budget, where they're trying to think about a board, they'll never be able to hire a search firm. I said, go to your clinical leaders, nurses, doctors, to your pastoral care. These are the people that actually, you know, when they walk into neighborhoods, they know people by name, they recognize people. And at the end of the day, that's really what you want to reflect when you think about equity. So I just offer that. It sounds really daunting, like, oh, well, what if we start asking, you know, clinical managers and clinical directors for suggestions? Well, what harm is there in asking and then just kind of being transparent and saying, look, we don't know if any of the choices you put forward or names you put forward might be considered, because we really do want to find people with certain levels of expertise, and they may not be the right fit, but there is no harm from doing it. And then the subset I'll mention, I think the three of us probably do this. I go out of my way. I find that when I'm looking to, I think we have to think about recruitment of boards as kind of the way athletic teams think about farm teams. So what I try to do is find people who would probably not meet the threshold for a large system board, something like a Common Spirit, because they don't have necessarily the experience. But I try to find, and this is going to sound derogatory, but it's not meant to be, kind of mini boards, kind of boards, you know, subsidiary boards or committees that they can start to kind of work on to get their, you know, just understand what I would say is the intangible curriculum of boards. There's a certain way you bring points up in a board meeting. There's a certain way you respond to things. There's kind of an etiquette, if you will, just to have a well-functioning board. but you kind of have to be, you know, you've had to be around the block like I have to understand that. And so I try to help make sure that even if somebody identified doesn't have that experience, how can I advocate for them to be on, like I said, kind of the mini boards, you know, something where they can get their, you know, just their feet wet, and then hope to be able to be nominated for the larger board.